aging comes to us all. And for some of us, the idea is terrifying. But for all of us, we share one question, which is how to do it well. And this is the concern of the latest book by Robert Desay, The Time of Our Lives. Hello, Robert.
Hello, Rick.
Thank you for your book. I enjoyed reading it so much.
I'm pleased.
And I spoke once with a nutritionist, and she sort of said, your fitness now is your superannuation for an enjoyable and pleasant old age. And your book made me think, my inner life that I build now is my insurance for an enjoyable older age. Why is the inner life so important?
You've made my day, I must say, by saying that. I think that most of the efforts people make to do something about their body for older age don't make much difference, really, in the end. You may as well just sort of do what you normally do. I think jogging and Tibetan drumming and Tai Chi have almost no effect whatsoever. It's what goes on inside that will have an effect on whether you are happy as you grow older. And happiness, after all, is the point of being alive. There's no point in being alive if you're not happy. Days are to be happy in. That's what they're there for. And it's this inner life that you need to start developing, choreographing, really, because it's a kind of dance, from the age of about 4, if you possibly can. If you didn't do it at 4, then 6 will do, 24, 34, 54. By the time you're at 84, the bad news is it might be a bit too late. An inner life is a complex thing. It is a dance. It is intricate, and it is deeply rooted, not only in your own life and your own concerns and loves in particular, but in the culture that you feel most happily rooted in, which could be anything. It could be Australian culture, it could be Tibetan culture, it could be anything. So that's what will sustain you when the outer life that you lead isn't very attractive anymore.
And this in your book, The Time of Our Lives, is something you describe so vividly, particularly in the context of visiting your partner Peter's mum, Rita, of this shrinking world that comes down to a corridor, a doorway, and a woman in a chair.
And a woman next door crying out, I want to go home, I want to go home, I want to go home, I want to go home. It's a terrible thing. And my book is not a self-help book. There's nothing I can say about how you might avoid going into one of these places. But I think there is something that our culture can do about it, something our politicians can do about it. And that is to stop locking up old people with old people. People don't want to be locked up with old people. Why would you want to be locked up with old people? Or with anyone, really. I don't want to be locked up with gay people or with theatre people or with market gardeners. I want to be locked up with people. 4-year-olds and gay people and 97-year-olds and truck drivers. I want to live in a village. And the wonderful thing about Java, where the book is partly set, is that old people, except for, in the case of the middle classes, perhaps in Jakarta, Yogyakarta, old people live in the village. They are on the street. They're looking, they're talking, they're with everybody. They're not locked up with old people. Why would you want to be locked up with old people? No one wants to be.
And that engagement then remains with the outer life. But something that you describe very vividly is that a lot of the things that we occupy ourselves with, even in retirement, with the garden, with the bridge club, with that stuff, is in some ways a bit trivial and doesn't help you once you can't do them.
I think we need trivial things, I must say that, sometimes. I think we need them to get us through the day. You can't be thinking about the meaning of life and why there is something rather than nothing in the universe all the time. So it helps to play canasta or perhaps plant a few daisies.
Dance tango.
Dance the tango. But the tango is a step above, I think, because the thing about the tango, and it's sort of the icon of this book, if I might say so, the tango, if you've ever danced it, it is both playful, flirtatious, and sexy, but also highly disciplined. It matters how you're holding your little finger. It matters exactly how you hold your partner. But it's also playful. And it's the mixture of the two things, discipline and play, that I think make for a good life and make for a colourful and beautiful inner life. But we do need trivial things. I mean, I think we should go to movies that we just enjoy. I don't think they have to mean anything in particular. The wonderful thing about play, you see, and it is a book about play, is that play is its own point. Don't you agree? I mean, you don't... Chess doesn't have to have another point. Chess is the point. Or playing football. I can't quite see the point of playing football, but I know people do see a point in playing football or cricket or doing the other things they do. Mm. Petanque, for example. Tasmania seems to be absolutely fixated on petanque wherever you go.
Mad for petanque.
Petanque.
Yes, and bull.
And bull. But it is its own point, and that's why I suggest playing more and more as you grow older, not less and less.
As Peter's mother, Rita, sits, you worry that her inner life is not so full.
Do you think I was cruel?
I wasn't sure.
Some people think I've been cruel, but you know, it's what Peter thought, that Rita comes from a generation of women of whom feminists would say an inner life was crushed out of them, probably. Women who were born quite often in the 20s, 1920s, perhaps going up to the 30s. Women whose husbands had lived through the Depression, who became hardened against the world around them. Rita had no interest in reading. She never read. She never went to the movies. She did play cards once a week and went on those ghastly excursions that... retirement villages force people to go on every second Friday. You know, that sort of thing. Go to some dairy in Deloraine. Who wants to do that? I don't know why these villagers, they often call themselves, think that old people want to do that. But there was actually nothing going on inside. Really, there was nothing. And so there was very little for anyone to befriend. If you want friends, you have to be yourself worth befriending. Of course, we were very fond of Rita. I suppose Peter, my partner, loved Rita. I'm not sure if I did or I didn't, really. She loved us. But you must be a good friend to someone to have friends. It's not a one-way street. And Rita became infinitely bored. And if you go into these homes, I'm sure you've been in them, what you smell on the air is infinite boredom.
You're listening to author Robert Desay. He's been Tasmanian for 20 years. His latest book, The Time of Our Lives, looks at how we end our lives and how to end it well and with grace. He says that as our bodies become less and less, it's what's going on inside that is so important. So, Robert, how do we nurture an inner life? What are the sorts of things that we can do now, wherever we are, to be able to sit alone with ourselves and play?
It's hard to sort of give advice. That's why the book's really made up of conversations where people agree and disagree with each other. But I think there is some point in doing two things. One is talking aloud to yourself. People think that's a sign that you're going bonkers, but it's not. You'll say some really surprising and fascinating things to yourself if you listen to yourself carefully when you're talking aloud to yourself about what you love. What you love. The other thing is, write it down. Now, when I write down what I love, it turns out not to be the things you'd think I might love. Finches, let's say, or Proust. It turns out to be learning languages. That's what I love. That is what makes me sit up straight with a smile on my face. Learning languages. So at the moment, for example, at the age of 104 or whatever I am, I'm learning Indonesian. I'm hopeless at it. I'm very good at a couple of others. Indonesian, which is much simpler, I'm hopeless at. Three-year-old children on the streets of Yogyakarta speak Indonesian better than I do. But I love it. I love reading books that knock my socks off. They're very hard to find. Mm-hmm. I love a certain kind of music. I love American musicals. I love Oklahoma. I love Singing in the Rain. I love Chicago. And then I start to grow vague. That's what I love. I mean, I love sex. Everybody loves sex, at least in the memory. We're not supposed to talk about it, and a lot of people are revolted to think that anyone over the age of about 34 has sex of any kind with anybody. But in fact, they do. And as you'll find if you read my book, I have women in my book in their 70s who have fallen in love tempestuously, ferociously in love, and are having very vivid and rewarding love lives in their 70s. A lot of other people are really pleased to find that sex has completely faded from their lives and stopped strangling them. Everyone's different. Mm. But sex is important, and I think we have to talk to ourselves honestly about it as we grow older.
Robert Desay, when you write, who do you imagine as your audience? Is that clear in your mind?
Very clear. It's a woman aged about 47 who has suffered. That's who I'm talking to. If her husband wants to read the book when she's finished, that's fine. But it is the woman I'm talking to because women talk back. And I find that men don't talk back to me in quite the way I would like. I mean, I can't imagine them doing it. If I say to them, you know, I'm afraid of saying goodbye. I find it difficult to say goodbye. They won't say to me, I also find it difficult. Or they won't take the subject any further. They won't probe me to find out exactly what it is I find difficult about saying goodbye. A woman will. That's why I like talking to women, and that's why women buy my books, and that's why I imagine women, particularly women who've suffered, who know what I'm talking about, reading my books.
The book is The Time of Our Lives, and whatever shape your bits are, it's worth a read if you want to consider the idea of those 20, 30 years of your life as worldly concerns move into the background, being a life worth living. Such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Rick. A pleasure for me too.